The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Well, hi, this is Jeff Galloway. You are listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 222 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast and touringplans.com. And with me on the show is my co-host, the one, the only, the myth, the legend, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Well, I have to clean off the microphone now after you kept on saying 222 all over. How are you today?
Okay. How are you?
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, I'm happy to be here and looking forward to getting ready for Avengers coming up. Are you? Back to California.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be my third trip to California this year. I've never gone to... It's probably like all the times I've gone to California.
Yeah. Avengers in November, a special event that will go unnamed for December. That's... going to happen.
And oh, you then, should probably talk about that in case any Mickey Miles podcast listeners want to come and say hello.
You mean the WDW Today reunion?
That's
which
what
is,
I mean.
Which is like the 15th, no, the 12th year we've been doing something like this, like Mouse Fest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll mention that. That's the first week in December. And then, of course, the big...
Where is it, Mike?
That's it, reunion.
Yeah, Walt Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's in Florida. And then, of course, January, the big race weekend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before you introduce our guest, I'd like to give a shout out, a distinguished guest. And it is to a buddy of mine, a fellow teacher, a fellow technology lover like me, a very nice person. And her name is Kathleen Pantaleo. And she, this weekend, did her longest distance. So happy that she's getting into running. She's just a super nice person. Go, Kathleen! Can't wait to see you at a race. Yay!
Hey, Kathleen. You know, here at the Mickey Miles Podcast at Expansive Studio Number One, we sometimes reflect as to how we have become so welcomed in the community, and it's due to a lot of people who have helped us along the way. And one of those people, right at the top of our list, is the guy who does the show notes. He's probably going to be the first inductee into the Show Notes Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm going to be right there putting him at the top of my list. And he's come here to help us answer some questions today. And I know everybody out there is already,
Rich!
Yeah, I mean,
Rich!
They're already forming his name on their lips. And it's none other than Rich Gehring. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me back. I've just finished packing my bags for Wine and Dine, and I cannot wait to get out of here. So one last conversation with you folks, and I'm going to be on a plane. So let's get this done with quickly.
It's 3:00 in the morning on Thursday when we're recording this. All right, Mike, what are we doing today?
I just said we're doing questions.
I did. I'm sorry.
You have to listen.
I'm sorry. I got too many things going on. All right, should I read the first one?
Why don't you read the first one?
I'm going to read the first one. It's from Pete from Lansing, Michigan. And he says, hey, Mike and Michelle and Rich, thanks for the podcast. I've been listening for years. And I have learned a tremendous amount of information from you both. I look forward to this podcast each week. I've been running, well, jogging, what let's call it what it is, fast walking, for 2 years. I used to hate running as a kid. I played the usual sports, baseball, football, and basketball. Running was always used as a punishment. Now in my mid-40s, I really enjoy running thanks to the Galloway method. And I love getting out for my quote-unquote runs. I started with 5Ks 2 years ago, and I did four of them. And last year, I did 2 half marathons within 15 days of each other, 3 within 22 days, if you want to count on the final training run. I was extremely happy with how things were going. I was losing weight. I was active. I was making plans this year for the 5 halves I was going to do throughout the summer. Well, things didn't work out so well, and I started off in the spring with knee issues. I recovered and I recovered at last in only a few weeks. I had some foot issues, so much so that I couldn't run. I finally recovered from that, and now I have a severe hip issue, and I've gone to the doctor, and I'm supposed to completely rest. Not even walking more than a mile is allowed. The disappointment in my running season this year is tremendous. A group of friends and I are supposed to run a 10K to set the bar for corral placement for the Wine and Dine Half next year. Yes, we are Disney planners, and once we set that bar with this race, we're hoping to steadily improve our time over the spring months next year. Right now, the 10K that's coming up is in jeopardy. Finally, my question. I know Mike had an injury that kept him on the sidelines for quite some time. You may have answered this type of question before. How did you cope with such adversity over the course of the running season? It's been a tough summer for me, and this is the only race I signed up for all year because of the injuries, and I've really been looking forward to it. Sorry for taking the long way to the question. Hopefully I'll get to say thanks in person at next year's Wine and Dine Half. So, Mike, you had last year, you were pretty much on the sidelines for a lot of the year with knee and back issues.
I was injured. I got hurt in September of 2012. But I still ran the Tower of Terror that year. And I had to sit out Wine and Dine. I had to sit out January. I had to sit out the Princess. So, Pete, it's very hard. I can hear the excitement in your I could read the excitement in your words when you said you started running and you got excited about it and look forward to your runs. And I know what it feels like to have to deal with an injury. One of the things that I used to try to deal with and try to cope with it is understanding what I had sustained and immediately start work towards getting better. And one of the things that kept me going was understanding how to maintain conditioning without further injuring myself. So try to think about that. Try to think about what you can do while you're healing, while you're getting better. If you can ride a bike or something like that. Think about the positive things. Think about how you will move forward with running. Learn from what you have experienced and look forward to races. One of the things you can do to cope with it is as you talk with your doctor and you learn when you can start running again, start looking at what races you might be able to enter as early as possible to get back into the swing of things. And I think you'll be okay. So good luck. Rich, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I this is close to my heart now. I had surgery in late September. And I've really been thinking about this, and I agree with you, Mike, that there are a couple of steps that you really need to do. And the first one is just to make sure you're getting better and you're finding ways to get better. I had surgery where I wasn't able to run, but I was still able to walk as much as I could. So I found times during the day where I'd take little walks around the street and whatever else. The second thing that I found that was really helpful for me was to cheer friends on whenever you can. Number of weeks ago, I got to cheer our Mickey Miles friends, Amanda and Eric and Holly, on at the Hartford Marathon. And Dave and I were able to race chase them. And I found that it was inspiring to me to get back on the horse and really work towards my next set of goals and maybe even run another marathon someday. And then finally, find a goal race that you're looking forward to where you can train appropriately. Wine and Dine was my goal race to get back to, and I may not have trained enough yet, and I'm going to do the best I can, but also recognize that you have limitations and that you're getting better. And so when I think about my recovery, yeah, Wine and Dine is not going to be the best race for me, but I'm going to use it as a stepping stone for races down the road as well. So those are sort of my steps with where I've come from and where I am right now.
I think those are all excellent answers. And I just have one more thing to add. And Rich, you kind of alluded to this a little bit with talking about cheering. If you're part of an online community like the Mickey Milers or another running group or just people on the Mickey Miles podcast, it's okay to mention to them that you're having a hard time and that you need a little cheering up, because I find that sometimes when we've had a bad day or we have an injury that's keeping us away from running, if you just mention it to other people, they will jump in and cheer you up and tell you their stories too. And it gives you a little hope and kind of a little ray of sunshine to move past it. So good luck, Pete. Keep us in the loop. We hope you recover soon, and we would love to meet you at Wine and Dine next year.
Our next question comes from Keith, who says, "Hey guys, we have run Disney events, but none of the marathon weekend races. I am having trouble finding out some information regarding post-race and thought you may be able to help. The first two races will end in the Epcot parking lot, but Epcot will not yet be open. From what I understand, we will not be allowed to go through the park in order to get to the boardwalk, which is our resort area. Is that correct? I have no desire to use the buses post-race, so I am wondering about other transportation options. It appears that the monorail will be running, so that will allow us to head immediately over to the Wave or Kona on one day, correct? But we would like to go to Boma for the other. Will there be plenty of taxis available in the Epcot parking lot after the race? Do you know of any other ways to get back to the boardwalk? I appreciate any insight, experience you can share." Michelle?
All right, I'm going to start off with this one. Boardwalk, Beach Club is my my home resort, so I know a lot about this. After the 5K, if you wait until 9 o'clock, you can walk over to the International Gateway. The same thing with the half marathon and the marathon. You can walk over. You have to wait till the park opens to be able to do that. In the morning, though, you can't take the bus. You can't walk over. You have to take the bus. You can't walk through International Gateway, through World Showcase, through Future World to the start. I wish you could, but you can't. The question about taking the monorail, Mike, I think that you can take the monorail right over to, he wants to go to the Wave or Kona. You should be able to take the monorail over there to the Ticket Transportation Center and then either walk over to either one of those different places if you want to. And the last question is taxis. Now, I don't think they're going to be taxis, and maybe Rich, you can chime in here because you mentioned that you took a taxi. There won't be in the Epcot parking lot, but there should be some at the front of Epcot, way over to the side. If you're facing Spaceship Earth, it's going to be way over to your right, where kind of near where the bus area is. There's taxis over there, and I believe there should be. Rich, what do you think?
I believe there should be as well. I think I saw them as we were leaving the park last time. We saw a couple of buses coming in, and I sure hope the monorail is running, because I'm lucky enough to stay at the Floridian for marathon weekend. So that'll be great to be able to not have to ride a bus or walk home, but just hop on the monorail and get back that way. So that's what I'm looking forward to as part of marathon weekend treats.
Yeah, it's always a challenge to try to figure out how to get to where you want to get to. But one of the things I want to mention to Keith is that when you run, wear your magic band, because if you wear your magic band, you don't have to carry other things that you may need. Like, first off, if you have your magic band, you'll be able to get through Epcot and walk back to Boardwalk. I think he's staying at Boardwalk. And you can also pay for things along the way if you want to eat something in Epcot. So I would do that. But I agree with Rich about and Michelle about the taxis. That would be one way to go. It's going to be interesting to hear back to see. I want you to, at least think about getting back to us and tell us your experience, because you may be helping others in the future.
Great. Thank you. All right. Our next question is from Brian Calhoun, and he says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike. I love your podcast. It entertains and informs on training runs and the drive to and from work. I really appreciate it. I have a couple of questions. First, the comments. Not long ago, you were talking about the Disneyland Star Wars race, and it seemed to be pretty disappointed by the choice of venue. I sympathize, although I'm not much of a Star Wars fan. Don't get me wrong. I like Star Wars as much as anyone. The original movies, anyway. Actually, A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. Let's move on. Personally, I think you may be overlooking an excellent, well-established theme for a spring race. The Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. The possibilities for interesting, colorful costumes are plentiful, not to mention those of merchandise and race course design." Oh, that might be interesting. Yeah. Now to the questions. When I ran the most recent Princess Half, I was far back of the pack. There were a lot of us, so toward the end there was a runner jam to rival any theme park upon the end of the fireworks show. So I spent a great deal of time walking. When I got to the end, the crowd thinned out so I could run again, except that I couldn't. My legs had become so stiff that all I could do was walk. Any idea what was going on with my legs? Is there a way to deal with this? Rich, what do you think? What could have caused the stiffness?
I know that I feel that often whenever I'm running, and I found it in a race not too long ago where I ran the first number of miles, and then due to, you know, not feeling great, I walked for a little bit, and it was just really tough to get back going again. So I'm really not sure what's going on, but I know that I suffer from it as well.
So I think that just like everybody has a different way of running, and everybody has their own personal way, personal Galloway method, ratio, whatever, I think that in this case, we also have an issue where for some people, if they stop running, I know that long time ago, if I ever stopped running and I started walking, there was no way I was going to be able to run again. And I think this is one of those times where you realize that you have to teach your body, or you have to train your body to do certain things, because when you run in these races and you realize that you have to walk at a certain point and then you want to get back to running, it's very hard to do that on race day. How many times have we said, don't do anything new on race day? Don't wear a new pair of shoes. Don't wear a new pair of shorts. Do that. So I'm guessing that one of the things that I would say is practice this, simulate this, and try to figure out what would be best for you. And I think that would be the way to do it.
Rich said something when we were off the air that I've been thinking of too, and I'm wondering if it's your, you know, like you're in a mode of running and then you walk and then you feel like, oh, I got to start running again. Could it be an attitude type of thing? I know he's specifically talking about, he's talking about his legs feeling stiff, but I think, is it something where you just have to give yourself kind of a little bit of a push? What do you think, Rich?
And I think that's, you know, after thinking about his question a little bit more, I'm thinking, yeah, it's not motivation, but it's that get up and go to start pushing yourself again. And sometimes you just get into walking mode, and maybe you find a power song, or maybe you find a buddy that's looking the same sort of way, and you kick each other in the pants a little bit and get each other going again, because sometimes it's just that kick that you need to get started again, as opposed to, you know, just thinking it's going to happen like that.
I think you're right, Rich. I think we're all right. We're all getting around the actual problem, which could very well be that if you walk too long, then it's hard to get back into the running. I think that for most people, the longest they would go within their walk time is a minute. And for a lot of us, if we get beyond a minute, then it gets kind of tough, because getting back into that running is very difficult. I know for me, I don't want that. And one of the reasons is, think about this. We've talked about this in the past. How many times have we said, when we're doing long distances, it takes forever to get warmed up. It takes 3, 4, 5 miles, 30 minutes before we really feel comfortable. That could be an issue here. And that time frame maybe gets shortened when you're running a race. So towards the end, maybe you need to figure out, we all need to figure out, how much is enough before we hit that threshold where our legs are going to get stiff. That could very well be it.
Mm. You know, I wouldn't push through. If you're stiff, I don't know that I would, and you're uncomfortable,
well,
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, I think, you know, there's stiffness and then there's pain. So if you're feeling mm-hmm. pain, I wouldn't push through it. But stiffness, I might push through it. So
right.
Interesting question. Okay. Also, he asks, is there a pace that is runner jam proof or at least runner jam resistant? What do you think, Rich?
I think you have to run faster than Eddie to get into a runner-free world, because I've tried all different paces during that half marathon course, and between the Magic Kingdom back during Cone Alley is just a jam, no matter how fast you run or how slow you go. So I can't think of one.
I can't either.
You'd probably have to go like sub nines.
Yeah. Okay, and so he finishes by saying, sorry to be so wordy. Thanks again for a great podcast. I look forward to seeing you again, perhaps Wine and Dine or Marathon Weekend. And we look forward to seeing you, Brian. Thank you. All right, the next question.
The next question comes from Ian Connor from Richmond, Virginia. Go Spiders. I am running Dopey in January. Do you recommend trying to maintain the same pace over the four races or varying the paces? This sounds familiar, Michelle. My race times over the past year vary by about 2.5 minutes per mile between the 5K and the marathon. Any thoughts would be appreciated also. I heard you did a show on race etiquette a while back. I would appreciate if you could do one. Another one ahead of the Walt Disney World Marathon. Thanks. And again, that's from Ian Connor. Michelle, let's go to Rich first on this one, because I know both you and Rich have done the Dopey, so I'd like to hear your input. Rich?
My take on it is that I found that the slower I went the earlier days, the better I felt in the later days. And I did Goofy 2 years ago, and I did Dopey last year, and we had a great time hanging out at the 16-minute mile pace for the 5K and pretty close to that for the 10K. And once we got into the longer races, my goal is to have fun and not try and get a PR or anything like that, but to get off your feet as soon as possible after the half and the full. So we took it a little bit faster those 2 days, but we weren't pushing in any sense of the word. So my take on it is go slow the first 2 days and enjoy the course, and then the second 2 days – kick it up a little bit, but don't try and PR or burn it or anything like that.
I think that's the perfect answer. Ian, I think I walked for most of the 5K. I walked and ran a little bit for the 10K. Did a very slow walk run at my pace for the half. And I did, Rich was with me. We did lots of walking, running, roller coaster riding, stopping for pictures for the marathon itself. It was not, we're just trying to get through it. And I think that's the thing with Dopey. You're just trying to get through it safely. Rich makes an excellent point about not only considering pace, but the rest that needs to go into the times that you're not running, because there's a lot of early mornings and there's a lot of nutrition you have to consider. So get off your feet and take it slow, and just think about Dopey is getting through it safely and at a place where you'll be able to celebrate and walk around with those medals after the races are done. Mike?
I think I'm on the same page as you two guys, even though I've done neither Goofy nor Dopey, although I did do the Grumpy. but Ian, if you think about what Jeff has said on our show about if you have trouble finishing a half marathon, that maybe what you need to do is take more walk breaks early on. So if you think about a singular race as a microcosm of a four-day event such as Dopey, think about what Michelle and Rich have said, and that is early on you're preserving and I guess reserving your energy, or you're holding back so that you'll have enough in the tank for those 2 days where you're doing 39 plus miles. So having said that, I agree with them. I would do 15 minute miles the first day, the second day, and even the third day. I would try to do it very slowly, because I want as much as possible on Sunday, because you want to be able to finish the races, and it's as we've said in the past, these are fun races. There's no need to run as fast as you can if you don't have to, because you're spending a lot of money, so you want to enjoy it, especially when you're walking up Main Street USA.
I agree with you, Mike. I think that the thing that I continue to tell people who are going to do Dopey for the first time, or even Goofy or any of those back-to-back races, is it's important to maintain as much of a resting pace as you can so you can enjoy the races and enjoy the sights that you're going to see, because there are some sights you don't get to see all the time. And the second thing I tell people, and I think it's more important than anything else, is to make sure you get your rest, because I think dope, the biggest challenge with dopey is getting your rest before every race rather than the running itself. So that's just my two cents on the whole thing.
And I think it's particularly difficult when you've done a 5K and you don't feel, maybe after all the dopey training, that you have extended yourself, and you feel like after the 5K, oh yeah, I can walk around the parks that day. It was just a 5K. Well, that's really, you need to keep your energy in the bank. You need to keep your focus on those 4 days as a whole, and really make sure that you're looking at long term, what you need to do to get through it. Okay, so keep us in the loop, Ian. We want to hear, want to see pictures of you with your dopey medal and hear what strategy worked for you. The next question, Mike, is, and Rich, is a Twitter question, and it is from Bill C., who's at BCMouse77 on Twitter. And he says, what are your thoughts on compression calf sleeves and socks? Good, bad, just a fad? On the fence about them myself. Mike?
That's a good question, Bill, because up until, 5 years ago, I never even wore a water belt, a hydration belt. And it's one of those things where I never knew what was out there that would be helpful. Since then, I have become Batman with my hydration belt. I carry water, I carry gels, I carry refrigerators, I carry everything in there. So same thing goes with compression sleeves and socks. I had friends who wore them, and they would talk to me about them. And I think the first time I wore them was when Michelle and I did the back-to-back. We did a marathon, half marathon, and then we did the marathon relay the very next day. So I had purchased a pair that fall while I was running, and I would practice and train, and I would be running 2 days, back-to-back days, long runs, and I would wear them not only after the first day, but I would wear them during my training run on the second day. And I can say that they did help. It's hard to explain what they do, but I just felt that my my legs were, my calves were really, really well rested. It's the recovery process that they help. It's the getting rid of that lactic acid. It's keeping that circulation going to carry away that lactic acid. So I don't know of anyone who has said to me that they don't help them. So I would be for them, number one, and always say, you know, you never know unless you try. Rich?
Well, I agree with everything you've said, Mike. And the other thing that I think about when I think about my calf sleeves is that generally I don't stand out in the crowd, and I don't have that fashion sense that many of our running friends do. But for some reason, my calf sleeves seem to always gather a lot of attention. And so, like our friend Helen Dunn, who seems to have a pair of calf sleeves in different colors for all sorts of occasions, I like wearing the calf sleeves because they get shout outs from the crowd. So whenever I'm running a longer distance, it's not only for the physical support and the lactic acid management that they do and the compression that they do, but also they show off my sense of style.
Okay, and I'm a big fan, too. I have used them for recovery. If I'm doing anything more than about a 10 or 12-mile run, I'll use them as soon as I get back and wear them for the rest of the day and actually sleep with them at night and feel that, I don't know, I seem to notice a difference that my legs are less sore. Also, if I'm doing a really long run, I will wear them for anything over about 14 miles. I'll wear them for the whole run too. And then I have a few pairs, so I'll just change them up when I get back home. So I like them. I like them. I would recommend. And so in terms of where to get them, where do you guys get yours? I know that they have them at the expo. Sometimes you'll see different bargains online. I've gotten pairs for $15. Where do you get yours, Rich?
I'm a Zensa fan. I think all of mine are Zensas, and I am dedicated to them because all of the cast sleeves that I bought from them are really quality and they've held up over time. So that's where I go. Mm-hmm. Mike?
Me too, Rich. I have only Zensas, and they have not failed me. And it's sort of like my running shoe, Asics. If I'm using something that works for me, then why change, you know?
I agree with you.
Okay, I think we're on our last question of the show, of the day. And it's another tweet question, Twitter question. And it comes from @DizRunnerK. The question is, I'm curious if Mike, Michelle, Mickey Miles Pod listeners have tips for the best flashlights, hat lights, high visibility gear for fall and winter runs. Michelle, this is your baby.
Oh, well, I don't know about the best. I can tell you what we use, what I use. We're going to be actually having very soon a holiday gift-giving guide show, so I'm sure we'll have some updated information. But in terms of flashlights, they're LED headlights that you can clip onto your hat that are available on Amazon. I think I got a whole bunch of them for $3 or $4 each on Amazon. Flashlights, there are all sorts of different options. I don't know if I would recommend a specific one, but they're getting lighter and lighter. And, you know, in terms of weight, and they're getting just easier to use. I would definitely recommend that if you're going out at night, you get some flashing lights. Nathan has the company Nathan has them that you can clip on your front and your back, a reflective vest that you should use. Lots of reflective clothing that you can get. Nike, other places have reflective clothing. We've done a show actually on night running, and I don't know what episode that show was, but Rich, what's your advice?
I don't do a lot of night running, but when I run early in the morning and I think that drivers may not be able to see me, it's not only making sure that you can see the road, but that they can see you as well. So I'm always wearing orange or yellow or a bright color so that they can see me. The other thing that I make sure is that there's reflective material on the things that I buy. So the running jacket that I wear usually in the morning has shiny stuff on it so that they'll be able to see as well. And I'll have lights on attached to my shoes or, you know, on my belt or something like that. So at least if they're coming, they're bound to see me in a couple of different ways.
Mike, what do you think?
Well, as we're answering this, I'm looking for the multi-billion-dollar light thing that Michelle bought me for Christmas a couple of years ago. It's a LED thing that I can clip onto my hat, and it's very easy to put on. It doesn't weigh much, and what's nice about it is that I just click it once with my thumb, and it's a steady light, and I click on it twice, and it's a blinking light, and I've used that in the morning. I've been looking at other things that have, piqued my interest. And in the morning when I drive to work, I drive to the train station, I see a couple of guys running close to the train station, and they all have different things. One guy has some kind of a headlight on his head. Another one has something on his belt. Another one has something on his knees. Another one has something on his ankles or whatever. And I'm thinking, which one of those would be the most? I think when you're looking for light, you're looking for something that is going to give you plenty of light and protection so that you know where you're running. But at the same time, you don't want it. You want it to be as less invasive as possible. So I would say just check a couple of things. Figure out what would be most tolerable, you know, where you would put it in, and then go for it. And I'm hoping that our listeners will give us some insight on what products they use.
I think you bring up a very good point. I was talking to a runner friend at work the other day, and she was mentioning how she can never wear anything around her waist. And I thought that was really interesting because that doesn't bother me at all. So everybody's different. And so there are lots of different options for reflective wear. You got to go with what works for you. I know that when I did the Reach the Beach series and I had to run in the middle of the night, I was not crazy about the idea of wearing blinky lights on the front and back. And it was really kind of, I thought, a pain because they were bouncing around. But honestly, after a few minutes, it didn't even bother me at all. I didn't even remember that they were there. So you get used to this stuff. I wanted to say once again that we are going to have a gift-giving guide very soon with our buddy Helen Dunn. And we'll look at, maybe we'll include some of the latest headlamps and things like that, that in reflective gear that you can get. I know that I was looking at some new headlamps the other day in a catalog. So, all right. So are we done for the day?
Yeah, I'll make sure to get that headlamp that you did buy for Mike out in the show notes for this time as well, Michelle.
Oh, thank you.
It was out there in our running show, and I'll put a link out to the night running show as well. I think Stan was on that one, so I'll find it.
Terrific.
She broke the bank on that one.
Yeah, I actually told you what it cost. It was like $3.99.
Yeah. I think the postage was more. Right? $3.99 for the item, $4.99 for the postage.
Yeah.
So, and I guess that does it for our questions this time around. Rich, we want to thank you, and of course, we want to wish you the best of luck for the 2014 Run Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon, and we hope you have a great time, and we hope to hear from you and a lot of the Mickey Milers.
Before we let you go, Rich, can you tell everybody once again when the meets are going to be?
That's what I was going to ask. So,
I'd
love to. We're going to have three meets. The first one will be on Saturday morning before the 5K at about 5:30. So look for Spider-Man and all the crazy Mickey Milers that are going to be hanging out there. Saturday evening, we're going to be together at 10:15 at Wine and Dine getting ready for – I'm sorry, that's – I'm 8:15. Whoa. 8:15 for the photo before the half marathon. And then we're also going to be meeting in the studios on Sunday at 1:30 near Gertie's for ice cream meet and hanging out and having a good time. So those are the three meets that we're going to have.
Terrific. Wish we could be there. Have a blast.
You'll be with us. We'll FaceTime you. Make sure you're part of the crowd.
Oh, that's good. That'd be great.
So for Rich Gehring and Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Ron Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.